This is Bob Fitrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
It's Bob Fitrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. And the other side of the news happens to be Bernie Sanders these days. In fact, he should be mainstream news. The independent socialist who's running for president and who often is left out or gets ignored. The local Columbus Dispatch talked about all the Republican candidates filing and Hillary filing, but left out the fact Simone Morgan, local socialist, co-chair of the Democratic Socialist of Central Ohio, left out the fact that Bernie Sanders, a Democratic Socialist, filed that day as well.
That's right. And so did O'Malley. Actually, somebody had seen something that was circulating on the DSA list that signatures were still needed and they weren't going to be able to file in many states, naming Ohio. And I thought, huh? So I go on to the Secretary of State's website, and there's all the list, all the Dems, all the Rs. Yeah, I know. And then there was also the thing of where they were so enamored of Trump because it sells papers, you know. And somebody, you probably saw this, somebody had calculated 234 minutes for Trump, 10 for Sanders, you know.
All right. And why do you suppose that is? Is it because he's a socialist? Does that play into it with the corporate media, the corporate for-profit media?
It may play into it to some extent. You know, there's probably some evolved, you know, people there who, and after all, it is their bottom line. If we had a more of a socialist economy, they would not have nearly as much power. And many people have claimed that, you know, that to the extent that there's a Democratic presence, that they're in Hillary's pocket, you know, and that Schultz has been putting her thumb on the scale in many different ways. Yeah, that's probably part of it.
And by Schultz, you're talking about Deborah Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah.
What's she the head of?
Democratic National Committee, I guess.
National Committee. Yeah. I know she's also head of the, or at least was head of the DCCC, the Congressional Committee.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Yeah. And a longtime Hillary supporter. Yeah.
And part of the problem, her name has come up because of the hacking scandal when a person in the Sanders campaign hacked in. Although in the Free Press, we pointed out, we ran an article pointing out that the person who created that very vulnerable firewall was, in fact, working for the Clinton campaign. So while it belonged to the Democratic Party, it really was developed by one of Clinton's own people.
Yeah.
A little known fact and a little reported fact. I mean, I went so far as to suggest that it sounded like the standard because of the way, really, the way Ms. Wasserman Schultz responded. It almost looked like a traditional political dirty trick because they immediately locked Sanders out, Bernie Sanders, out of his own database.
Right. And one person had pointed out that Sanders had reported an earlier thing, you know, and without excusing the person nosing around who they claimed were trying to see if their data had been compromised. Yeah, I mean, and there's something circulating around that I saw this morning, I think, from it's an internet thing, Daily Kos. I saw something this morning that people are very suspicious whether there will be a real investigation because the person who has been chosen to investigate also has a lot of connections to Clinton.
And, of course, the other irony of all this is that Ms. Clinton herself, when she was first lady, got into problems in the White House for peeking. In fact, she has a scandal. She's the principal player in known as Filegate.
Right.
Where she had illegal files, which were left legally obtained from the previous administration, containing all sorts of background checks on prominent Republicans. And she, and for the record, let me recall, Chicken George, who is head of White House security. Chicken George was a guy known for going in a chicken costume and saying, "Chicken George," meaning George Herbert Walker Bush, "won't debate." And he had extensive experience as a nightclub bouncer. So it was he and Ms. Clinton that went supposedly gathered these files up, but did not peek inside. Although over the years, a lot of information in that files, including the sex life, which I really don't want to reflect on, of Newt Gingrich, ended up coming forward into the mainstream media. So there's always a question of, you know, these file scandals. If, you know, if Bernie is, you know, to be punished, you know, why wasn't Hillary punished for a much greater scandal when she was the first lady?
Yeah. All we can do is speculate on that. You know, it's certainly, God knows, she's been in enough scandals and probably been involved in enough dirty tricks herself, which makes it, of course, very ironic and laughable. You know, the way they come down on Bernie's for, you know, a much milder thing. But, yeah, that's why people are suspicious.
Well, a lot of the Democratic Socialist America has been around a long time. I mean, technically, we could go back to the last decade of the 19th century.
Right?
If you follow, you know, the linear descent of your organization, Democratic Socialists, in many ways is the split off from the Populist Party that refused to go into the Democratic Party in 1896 and instead followed the legendary Eugene Victor
right.
Debs, who ended up running for president in 1900. So there's a long tradition in your party that goes way back. But a lot of the Bernie Sanders people, the ones I've met, seem to be very enthusiastic, but in many ways, I don't want to say political novice, but that's what they appear to be. This is their first time out. So, you know, I don't think they're quite as accustomed to dirty tricks. And I think that enthusiasm really helped turn this around real quick. But in the long run, will it serve them well? Does Bernie get so much grassroots enthusiasm down there that this can carry into an actual movement and benefit your organization as the oldest democratic socialist
continuously
organization in America?
That is what we are hoping. That's that. In fact, we've been planning, you know, a presentation because we feel that a lot of people need to get up to speed on, you know, what socialism is and how long it is. Basically, what it comes down to, a lot of the people are young. Not all of them. A lot of them were people that I had no awareness of. They must not have been politically involved. And Sanders is speaking to them in because of his views. And I've said for a while that basically most of America, well, I don't know most. I don't know if I can make that sweeping a statement. But a lot of America is operationally socialist. They just don't realize it. You know, they don't use the term.
A vast majority appeared to be programmatically progressives or democratic socialists.
Yeah.
And part of it, and we talked a little about this prior to the show, part of the game that's historically been played in America is you'll take someone like Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or even Obama and say, they're socialist. When you, as of course, a democratic socialist, would say, you know, you wish they were half that good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You wish they were actually an FDR liberal for that fact. It would be a huge improvement.
Right.
Because many elements, neoliberalism, free trade that's been embraced by the Clintons,
That's right.
And Hillary changed her mind once Bernie got in.
Yeah.
And then Obama with the Trans-Pacific partnership, is that with a real socialist in the race, they're having a real hard time, right? Trying to accuse Hillary of being a socialist and or Obama, because in this case you appear to have the real thing.
Yeah, I suppose that is an issue. I mean, he is drawing huge crowds, bigger than hers. There's also a good sense that the mainstream media is missing the point in their polls and their actions, because so much of this campaign, and it's funny given Sanders' age, but most of this campaign is being driven to a large extent by social media and many websites and things, and just constant, yes, it probably does limit their ability to use that. It's been used for a long time as a kind of a bad word. I think it's lost a great deal of its power, especially with millennials, because, they were mostly born after that whole Cold War period, mm-hmm. and they don't make those associations. And besides, they know that their lives suck in terms of their options. And so that's why it sounds good to them.
Yeah, they know corporate capitalism isn't doing it for them. And one of the odd things is Bernie's not saying anything different than he has been saying since the late 70s or 1980, right? I mean, his message about a small group, oligarchs, so to speak, corporate oligarchs owning the economy mm-hmm. at the expense of the American people, that hasn't wavered. But your argument is since the Great Recession, the meltdown of the economy, it now makes a lot more sense for these millennials?
That's right. It makes more sense. They recognize the problem. And it's also part of his authenticity. He's not like Hillary, who, always has her finger to the wind and shifts according to whatever she thinks will work. And that is part of it. He's always been about that.
So when we look at this, the media could decide, or could have decided, as I have in the Free Press, that the real story is the end of American exceptionalism.
Uh-huh.
And by that, of course, we mean that socialism has entered the mainstream debate over the economy. That American exceptionalism, what made us exceptional from other countries, and this is not a positive from my perspective or yours as a democratic socialist, is the fact that we have no left, labor, social democratic, democratic socialist party that speaks for people that work for, a wage or a salary.
That's
We've
right.
got two parties that seem to work for people that live off investments mm-hmm. or that are directors of
yeah.
corporations or officers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is this the end of American exceptionalism? Is this the breakthrough you've been waiting for probably your entire adult life?
We can only hope, who knows? It's ironic in a way that America seems to be discovering this. At the same time, there seem to be a lot of neoliberal forces exerting power in Europe, which had it for a much longer time. It's kind of ironic. But, I think that to a large extent, other people have expressed this. People are tired of being lied to, and they're especially disgusted and have been since, I'd say since 2009 when the recession was ended. For who? They bailed out the banks, and people still lost their homes, and many people have never made it back. It was even worse for African Americans. It's just... Yeah, I think it's gotten bad enough, and there's been enough of a distance from some of those boogeymen that the right was able to use for so many years, through all those Red Scares and, repeated Red Scares and repression and so on. Yeah.
And it's interesting. Right now we've got a movie coming out, The Big Short, that mm-hmm. Spells out exactly...
Right.
How the casino economy works.
Yes.
And how a whole bunch of people got rich, essentially betting correctly that their country was about to tank, right?
Yep.
Go down the tube economically. And
that's right.
What sort of system allows people to become filthy rich off the vast misfortune of others?
Yeah, it's you know, it's I plan to see that. I haven't seen it.
This is WCRS 98.3, 102.1, community radio in Columbus. This is Dr. Bonfetrakis bringing you the other side of the news. I've got Simone Morgan in the studio of the Democratic Socialists of Central Ohio, the co-chair, and she also sits on their national board. And what's the national board called these days?
National Political Committee.
The National Political Committee. And any discussion about Bernie's campaign on the committee or in the information that circulates? What is the basic take if DSA? DSA is not a vanguard organization, right?
No.
We want to make they don't practice
it's not
democratic centralism, right? Is that, but are there any general feelings that you've been able to pick up? Are they happy with the Bernie campaign? Is it what you've been waiting for? I mean, it's actually your national political strategy has been realignment to try and pull the Democratic Party into becoming a labor or social democratic, explicitly progressive party. And does Bernie serve that purpose?
I'm not sure. First of all, there's a special Bernie committee that meets every couple of weeks by phone talking about the campaign and what people should be doing. I would not say that people have any great illusions at this point about pulling the Democratic Party anywhere. You know, that was a theory, you know, some years back. But at this point, I think the main focus
part of that theory was, in reality, the Democratic Party was linked and still does a smaller extent to some major progressive.
It was
a labor union.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of the, I mean, really the destruction of the union workforce, the blue collar workforce in the United States, has made it difficult to have that strategy play out as it was originally designed.
That is probably part of it, yes. I mean, I think there's just been so many disappointments with it, and for labor as well, which is why when some big unions decided to go ahead and endorse Hillary against the wishes, in many cases, of their members, it's a kind of a failed strategy that some labor does, where they figure they've got to get locked in soon so they'll have a seat at the table. And you would think that all of these terms where Democratic, you know, like Obama, did nothing in particular for them, you know, let them.
And not only that, has proposed the TPP.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I lock yourself into what during the Clinton years?
Mm-hmm.
A seat to negotiate NAFTA?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is why so much of the rank and file is dead set against it. It caused controversy in a lot of unions. Now you have the CWA, which I think is more democratically run, and
Communication Workers of America.
Yeah, you know, and they endorsed Sanders, and of course the postal workers and the national nurses, who, by the way, are one of the biggest backers of the financial transaction tax that Bernie wants to use to pay for free college education.
And again, it's not an original Bernie idea. It's been around, and as I recall, there's a Nobel Prize connected to it. The economist who came up with the tax initially.
You mean Tobin?
Tobin, among
were
either nominated or Tobin ended up, winning a Nobel Prize for the proposal.
That's what's so strange. We had that Tobin
tax. But you never
hear
about it.
Yeah, you had that Tobin tax for years, where basically we'd be going back to what we originally had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's baffling to me. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the mainstream media have become more and more tied to corporate benefactors and don't tend to print things that are going to get them in trouble and don't tend to cover a great deal of the news. This is part of the reason why so many people have gotten their news from social media and all of these various, you know, websites. They're not reporting a lot of this stuff.
And I just saw that the Vegas newspaper, which owns the Columbus newspaper, sold the newspaper to Sheldon Adelson.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, you've got this casino
billionaire
buying up, you know, the major newspaper in Las Vegas from the media conglomerate that now owns the Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, given Adelson's activities in trying to shut down any BDS activity, I'm rather suspicious of all of that. God knows what we're going to see from him.
And what do those initials stand for our
let's see. Boycott, divestment, and sanctions.
It's against.
Yeah, to encourage people to withdraw investment in Israel, to, you know, pressure them to give the Palestinians a break and stop killing them.
Yeah, the question of the Gaza Strip and the situations there. Although...
And isn't Hillary pretty... Doesn't she, wasn't there something with letters between her and Adelson?
Adelson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be interesting because Israel itself has a Labor Party, a left coalition,
has
a huge peace movement, and increasingly you've been seeing a lot of ads in the New York Times from people, former military and intelligence people, saying two-state solution is the only way, and they're dealing with demographics here. They're saying, look, you know, we're a few years away from Israel being a majority Palestinian state. The only way for it to survive is to, in fact, embrace the two-state solution.
Yes, unfortunately, the military, they have a much more accurate idea of stuff on the ground, and unfortunately, a lot of those, they've got a bunch of far-right leaders in there now. Oh, God.
Yeah, far-right leaders, and I've always wondered the effect of the settlement movement, much of it from the United States. It seems like a lot of the vigorous opposition to the abuse of the Palestinians is coming from native Israeli peace movements.
Yes.
And some of the people that seem to be embracing it tend to be people born in the United States that moved over there and settled and were part of that settlement movement.
Yeah.
But Bernie Sanders, again, his position on Israel?
You know, that's something he's spoken of very little.
That's been one of the criticisms, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's I doubt if he's a big fan of what they're doing, but he really hasn't spoken about it much. I can't recall seeing
anything. Yeah, that's a lot of the criticism is that sort of the one issue he appears to not really want to touch.
Yeah, foreign affairs generally is something that doesn't tend to be his strong thing. The strongest thing I've seen him come out recently having to do with that has to do more with what with our endless wars in the Middle East and what we're doing to Muslims in the Middle East.
Yeah, he's hit that theme, and that is in line with democratic socialist tradition. From Debs to Thomas Harrington, although some would argue that Michael, while being anti-war, Michael Harrington actually worked for the Johnson administration, and took him a few years from 65 to 67 to actually kind of step down and literally underwent a personal crisis because he found it so difficult to work for a pro-war administration.
Yeah, yeah.
When his own position, I remember it quite well. I heard him speak many times that the war on poverty, which he was the architect of, was lost in the jungles of Vietnam.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Well, it's just, in general, the entire military enterprise, unfortunately, too many parts of this country have become dependent on it for jobs. It's bloated, is from what I have been read, that they've never really met an audit in years. You know, they're tremendously wasteful, and it's creating enemies. You know, why are we doing this? You know,
creating enemies and whole movements. You know, arguably, it was U.S. policy, the Bush administration's policy, that ultimately created ISIS.
That's right. That's right.
And again, we've at various times funded ISIS.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of revelations. Yes, exactly.
Sometimes when they got our weapons, yes.
Well, you know, it's if you leave the large depots unguarded and, you know, only protect the oil ministry and live in a green zone, chances are something might happen.
Let you know what their values are, yep.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. And again, there was a period of time when an Al-Qaeda offshoot was considered the good rebels in Syria because they had, you know, they had broken from Al-Qaeda, but, you know, we ended up backing those. So the complexities of foreign policies has always been something the Democratic Socialist have been concerned with. What would you say is the overall perspective of Democratic Socialists of America? What would they like to see happen in the Middle East?
Well, and I can only speak in general terms because I don't want to speak for a lot of people I haven't polled. I think generally they would like to see a hell of a lot more diplomacy and a hell of a lot less immediate resort to the military, and a feeling that, you know, a lot more respect and understanding of the complexities of the area, the different tribal and, you know, country loyalties, and just not go blundering into places where we don't really understand and are inadvertently setting off semi-religious wars and, you know, conflicts that really we should not have any part about. You know, we're already regarded with suspicion in those areas, and why shouldn't we, since we've been interfering since at least 1953 when we helped them overthrow Mossadegh, you know, and install the Shah. Of course they are suspicious of us. What else would you expect? So, you know, we'd like to see much more diplomacy, and we'd like to see the military budget cut. It's bloated and isn't getting us anything except enemies.
So when you look at the United States and realize we're probably spending half, 4% of the population, spending about half of the money on planet Earth, that would run directly counter to a democratic socialist foreign policy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think.
Well, what would you do once you cut the budget? Where would you put that money?
Oh, dear. A great deal more of it would go either to social and health programs and research, so people wouldn't be running bike races to get money for cancer research. That's one place I'd put it. Another place would be to perhaps a guaranteed public, you know, guaranteed income for some people. There's so many places where it could be better spent.
By Richard Nixon, of all people, through Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
That is right.
And in Nixon's mind, it saved money because you didn't have to have a vast and massive social welfare bureaucracy. It was actually cheaper to send the check directly, like a Social Security system, than to hire five or six social workers for every person who
was poor. Yeah, and that's not a terribly efficient system. Yeah. I know. People don't realize that. Well, I think I've said this before. You know, the media don't report a lot of this stuff. And people, I don't know. I think I mentioned before how Gore Vidal called us the United States of Amnesia. Yeah. It's.
Well, we got 2 minutes to go. And
the environment. Get serious. That's another thing to do with the money. Get serious about the environment instead of just...
Yeah, because when there's no snow in Christmas and we're warmer than much of the South here in Columbus, we could be seeing the legendary global weirding. How can people contact the local Democratic Socialists of America?
Well, we meet on second Tuesdays, and we have...
Where do you meet at?
I'm sorry, the Northwood High Building. And we've also started we had started to plan, and we're definitely...
That's once a month, the second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday. And we're also starting, and what we meant to before, and we're hoping it'll be a continuous thing, just having a kind of a get-together, just go down and drink and relax. And that's going to be December 29th at the High Beck. At 7 o'clock.
And that's what we call beer hall socialism. It's the most fun. As Michael Harrington once told me, his goal was to have a beer with everyone in America. And I had one or two with Michael, who was always fascinating, intellectual.
Oh, he knows so much. Oh, my God, yes. Reading his books, yes.
All right. Simone Morgan, thank you for being on The Other Side of the News.
Oh, you're quite welcome.